All right, good. Okay, so what am I preaching on this morning? I forgot. No, I'm just kidding. Hope. I'm preaching on hope. I hope that works. No, I'm just kidding. Now, what is hope? Well, hope is often given an unbiblical definition, like basically what I just did right now, okay? Because that's basically how we use it, right? We often think of hope as being, or we view hope as an expression. You know, you think you're ever going to have children, and it's just like, I hope so. And that's how often people use it, myself included. You know, anytime there's something in the future that you would long for to have, and, you know, you see the potential, people ask you, you know, do you think this is going to happen? We often say, I hope so. Well, you know, we use it like that, but that's not necessarily the correct way to use hope, because that's not necessarily what hope is, okay? You know, having the right perspective for the light at the end of the tunnel. That's not what hope is. Hope is not optimism for what potentially can happen. It's actually optimism because of what will happen. Okay, that's what hope actually is. Hope is when something is just completely established, it's settled, we know it's going to happen. That's what hope is, all right? And in fact, to prove that, go with me if you would to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You think of eternal life, right? Eternal life, when we think about salvation, that's something that we know for a fact, right? Those of us who are saved, you know, we know that we're saved. Those of us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we know we have eternal life. That's not something that we will ever wonder about. You know, you can question or doubt it sometimes, but at the end of the day, if we get cornered, we know that it's by faith alone. We know we can't lose it. And the Bible actually says this, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So we don't go through life wondering if we're saved. We know that we're saved. In fact, we have the hope of eternal life. You know, we have that promise that God has given to us that we are saved. And we have the promise of the resurrection, okay? The resurrection is the hope that we look forward to, that we know that that's going to happen one day. The Bible also says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Going to show us that what happens when we have hope, we wait for it. We know it's going to happen. We know it's an event that's going to take place. And because of that, we just wait for it. Okay? Now, when thinking about the resurrection, this is the greatest hope that we have, right? You know, Christ in us, the what? Hope of glory. God, throughout the New Testament and even in the Old Testament, drives in this concept that we will resurrect one day. This is how we know that at the end, everything is going to be okay. This is how we know that no matter what takes place in this world, we know the end of the chapter, the end of the book, we win, we resurrect, we're going to rule and reign with Christ. That is a guaranteed ironclad promise that we will never wonder about. That is fact, okay? Now look what it says in chapter 15, verse 17. Because that's something that helps us when we're going through hard times, right? Thinking about the resurrection. I know it helps me. You know, you go through a difficult time, you're like, well, you know what? At least we have the resurrection. At least I know that I'm going to resurrect one day. At least I know that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to see God face to face one day. I know that for sure, right? But look what it says in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perish. Now look what it says in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now what is the primary interpretation of that verse? What it's basically telling us is this, is look, if there is no resurrection, then the hope that God has given to us in this world, it doesn't mean anything, we're miserable. Because the end of our life is nothing. There is no resurrection. That's what it's telling us, right? But I want you to notice the implication of this verse is telling us that we have hope even in this life. So we not only have hope in the resurrection, that's not the only hope that God gives us. We actually have hope even in this life. What does that mean? Well, just as we look forward to something that is firm, it's established, it's going to happen in the resurrection, in like manner, there are times in our life where we will have hope established, firm, something will happen even in this lifetime. We have hope in this lifetime. We have things that we know will take place, okay? So we not only have the hope of the resurrection, we actually have hope in this life. Now, why is it important to have hope? Because you think about hope, we often mix it up with faith, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we often think, well, yeah, faith is important, but you know what? Hope is just as important as faith. And though they have similar attributes to these virtues, they're actually very much different as well. Because hope is that which is already established, that final destination that we know is going to take place. Faith is the fuel that helps that vehicle to get to that point. Okay. Hope is there. Faith helps us on a day-to-day basis to keep moving, knowing that that is there. Okay. Now look what it says in verse 5 of Romans chapter. Go back to Romans chapter number 5. Why is hope important to have? Because, you know, it's important that you increase your faith, but it's so much the more important that you have hope. Why? Look at verse 5 of Romans 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What does that mean when it says hope maketh not ashamed? In other words, hope is not going to let you down. You're not going to be let down. So if we know, and by the way, have you ever been let down before? Has family, friends, circumstances ever let you down? Of course. It's part of life. So doesn't that make hope that much more precious? To know that hope maketh not ashamed? This is why we should hold on to hope and strengthen our hope, because of the fact that we know that hope is not going to let us down. It doesn't make us ashamed. We will not be ashamed. We will not be let down. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So what is this telling us? It's telling us that we need to constantly be reminded of the hope that is set before us, right? The resurrection, that's what it's referring to, the hope of our salvation, that helmet. The Bible says in Psalm 31, go to Hebrews chapter number 6 if you would. Psalms 31 verse 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter number 6. I want to strengthen your hope, or at least help you to understand the importance of having hope. Not just in the resurrection, we all know that. But wouldn't you say there's times in our life where things are just uncertain? You just don't know what's going to happen. And God doesn't lay out the blueprints. He doesn't have a layout of what's going to take place. And you know what that does? It causes us to question and doubt sometimes, right? But you know what? We have this virtue called hope that helps us to realize that even in this lifetime, you know, our expectation shall not be cut off. Look at Hebrews 6 verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Now, so what does hope come with? It comes with consolation. What is consolation? Comfort. When we're in distress, we're in anguish, we're in tears, we're in doubt, if we have hope, what does hope do? It consoles us. It gives us the consolation we need. That's why it's important to have it. You see, we as Christians should not only strengthen our faith, we need to strengthen our hope. We need to establish our faith in hope. Look, if you have faith, but you have no hope, then what's the purpose of having faith? The purpose of having faith is to get you to reach to the end of that hope. The reason we even exercise our faith is because we know there is an end to all these things. And that end, that expectation, is the fulfillment of hope. Okay? Hope is important. You need to have hope. Okay? Go back to Romans chapter number 5. How do we augment hope in this life? Because we've already established, we have the resurrection, we have that hope. It's never going to pass. It's never going to end, right? It's not going to be made null and void. We don't believe you can lose your salvation. But you know, it's important that we establish hope just even in this lifetime. That's why it's unfortunate when someone gets saved that they don't come to church. They don't grow in their faith. They don't grow in hope. They don't learn the Bible, because guess what? Even though they have eternal life, which is good, the most important thing, you know, they're going to live a miserable life in this life. Did not Jesus say, I come to give them life and life more abundantly? You know, salvation is the greatest aspect of our Christian lives, but you know what? There's so much more in between. You have your salvation and you have the resurrection, but you know there's something in between called life. And in life, there's trials, there's difficulties, there's pains, there's trials and tribulations, there's suffering, there's anguish, there's afflictions. And these things can deter us sometimes. Cause us to get out of church, not read our Bibles, not pray, live a worldly life, live carnally. And at the end, that influences the rewards that we get at the resurrection. Okay. So how do we increase our hope in this life? Romans 5 verse 1, let's read it again. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's pretty easy to do, isn't it? To rejoice in the hope that is set before us. You know, if I preach a sermon on the resurrection and how we're going to be resurrected and six-pack and, no, I'm just kidding. You know, we're just going to get these new bodies and we'll never die and we'll rule and reign and the law of Moses is going to be executed in the millennial reign and we're just like, yeah, get those evildoers. And it's easy to rejoice in those things. Kind of get you going, make you happy, amen? 1,000 years of eating meat, being with Jesus, ruling and reigning. Rejoice in that. He says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Well, hold on a second. Verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. That's not as easy to do. That's actually a lot harder to do. To glory in tribulations? To rejoice when you're going through a tough time? That's hard. I don't know about you, but if I go through a tough time, I want to be moody. I don't want to be smiling and happy, and I want to mourn. I want to be upset. I want to be angry. And I don't want you to question that. Just want to have a bad day. But here he says, we glory in tribulations also. Now, why is he glorying in tribulations also? Because of what he knows. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope doesn't let you down. You see, the person who is ignorant of tribulation will never experience what hope is like in this lifetime. The person who falls away during tribulation will never experience what it's like to have an expected end where God delivers us, even in this lifetime.
Right.
You know, you read through the book of Psalms, and you often see, I remember, like, as a new Christian, I read through the book of Psalms, and he's constantly talking about the salvation of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord. And I would always relate it to, like, the literal salvation of our souls and of our, you know, the resurrection. But more often than not, he's not referring to that salvation. He's literally referring to the physical salvation at that moment of the trial that he's going through. Being delivered from the hand of his enemies, being delivered from the clutches of Satan at that moment, that's the deliverance that he's referring to. He already knew he was saved. He already knew that he was going to, you know, experience the resurrection. It's a different story when you wonder, man, am I going to experience deliverance here, though? Is everything going to be better here? I'm going through a tough time now. Is this going to be over? I know the resurrection's coming, but what about before that? Do I have hope here? And sometimes people become hopeless. And why do they become hopeless? It's because they don't follow this formula right here. Okay? So let's talk about that. Who has good penmanship? Anybody have good penmanship? Some lady, there we go. I was going to say some lady, and then Miss Angie. Can you write down a couple words for me and then hand it to John, and then he's going to bring it up to me. So write down tribulation first. So let's talk about tribulation, okay? See, when we think about tribulation, we think about after the tribulation. Yeah. 75 days and persecution. And that's definitely what tribulation is, but that's not the only thing that tribulation is, okay? Now, I need a tribulation saint here. Let's get a tribulation saint. Brother Maury, come on up. Stand right there, Brother Maury. The Bible says in John 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So look, folks, whether you want to agree or disagree on when the rapture is, you just can't deny what Jesus just said right there. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Amen. What is tribulation? Trials, afflictions, suffering, hardships, bad. No good. When life is no good, okay? You. Tribulation, man. Don't we all hate this guy? Not Maury. We hate tribulation. I like Maury. This is affliction, suffering, hardships, severe trials. And we often like to claim the promises of God, like all these promises that he gives about his provision and comfort. Well, he also promises tribulation, right? The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, turn with me, if you would, to go to Acts chapter 14. 1 Peter 3, verse 9 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Have you ever been in heaviness? Amen. How many of you have ever heard of being depressed? That's when you're pressed down, you're heavy. And sometimes people can become so depressed, they just, even Christians, they just lose all hope. Why? Because they're just heavy through manifold temptations. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Acts 14, verse 22, "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Yes. Folks, the prosperity gospel is a sham. Yes. Oh, once you become a Christian, everything's going to be hunky-dory, roses and daisies, a bed of roses. Nothing bad is ever going to happen. False. Yes. Lots of bad things are going to happen to you. Yes. Especially if you start preaching the word of God unfiltered, you're going to have a lot of bad things happen to you. Yes. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It's not like we get saved and just like everything is just completely fine. Nothing ever bad will ever happen to you. No, you shall receive much tribulation. Because that's how you must enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? "For verily," 1 Thessalonians 3, 4, "for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." So this is tribulation. And look, let me just say this. Every single one of you is going to go through this. Either you've gone through it, you're going to go through it, or you're in it right now. Don't fool yourself. Not me. You're next, buddy. Your appointment's next month. God's going to take the carpet out from under you this coming week. It's going to happen. This is unavoidable. We shall receive tribulation. We shall go through trials. And let me say this. You're like, "Oh yeah, I'm going through a trial right now, man. It's just..." No. I'm talking about the trial that brings you to your knees. I'm talking about the tribulation that brings you to tears to the point where you can no longer cry.
Yeah.
You ever been to that point before? Where you make your bed to swim with tears and you just can't even cry anymore. That's tribulation. When you're at your wit's end and you're just like, well, I got no answer. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. That's tribulation. You know, because I don't know about you, but like, you know, men, anytime I go through like a problem, for me it's just like, just give me a 10-step program to fix it. Step number one, you know, read my Bible. Step number two, pray. Step number three, you know, clean house at the church. You know, step number four, I mean, like, I just want steps. And then it's like, all right, we're over and done with. This is over and done with. That's not how tribulation works, though. Tribulation doesn't go according to our timetable. Tribulation is not merciful. Tribulation hits hard. Tribulation causes a lot of anguish and can often leave you hopeless. Okay? Now, I need two guys. Michael, come on up. Brother Hyde, come on up. Just stand right there in front of Brother Maureen. Now, we'll say this, is that God promises us comfort in tribulation, right? He tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith ourselves are comforted of God. So it's basically saying is this, is that when we go through tribulation, God gives us a measure of comfort along with that tribulation. How? I don't know. It's just supernatural. Okay? But he gives it to us not so we can just bask in comfort. He gives it to us so that we can take the comfort that we got and give it to someone else. You know, we go, it's like, don't waste that crisis. That crisis is there to help you to strengthen the brethren when you've been converted. Okay? So when we go through tribulation, we have two options. Okay? And listen very closely, folks. There's two options when you go through this man right here. Actually, you're a good depiction of tribulation. He's big, scary. You don't want to mess with this guy. Maury. Hold that nice and high, Maury. There we go. Tribulation. You have two options. One, you can endure the tribulation. Or two, you can fall away. You either endure or you fall away. If you fall away, you repeat the process again. Because this is a test. If you fail the test, he's going to bring that back around again. If you endure the test, you move on to the next tribulation. Hey, but at least it's not this tribulation. And let me say this, not only do you move on to the next tribulation, you actually move on stronger to face the next tribulation. However, when you fall away, you actually become weaker. So you're facing the same exact tribulation later on, 5 years later, weaker than before. Two options, folks. You either endure or you fall away. What does it mean to endure? It means to bear with tolerance. Just grit your teeth and you don't move. Thank you. You don't move. What do I mean by don't move? You don't get out of church. You don't get out of your Bible. You don't get out of prayer. You stay close to the Lord. Yeah, you may wane a little bit. Maybe you don't go a soul winning as much. Maybe you don't read as much Bible as you could, but you try the best that you can to just stay put. You don't let sin into your life. You don't move. And you take it like a man. You endure. And as those fiery darts of the wicked one are coming at you, you have the shield of faith, and you're enduring every single attack. That's what it means to endure. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now let me say this. Satan works his best right here. during tribulation. Works hard. Pulls out all the stops. All his wiles. All his trickeries. All his devices come out. And if you're not grounded in the Word of God, you won't be able to take it. We know that Satan is on a short leash, but let me say this, is that Satan's very powerful. He's a great liar. And many, many Christians are right here, unfortunately. And they never make it right here. Because sometimes the temptation is so strong that they feel they can't take it anymore, and they throw in the towel and they fall away. Happens all the time. And in my 14 years of experience as being a Christian, I've seen it over and over and over and over and over again. Good people who go through a tribulation and they fall away. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. So you have two options when you go through tribulation. You can either just take it like a man, endure it, grit your teeth. Yeah, but I kind of want to see that there's like, you know, there's hope. It doesn't work that way. You're just going to have to keep doing what you're doing. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. I mean, think about Job. I mean, like, the kids are all dead. All his resources gone. His wife cursed God and died, she said. How hard was it for that guy to have hope? But yet he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What does that mean? That means this. I'm not going to bow, but, you know, if you still throw me in, if God doesn't deliver me, I'm still not going to bow. It's one of those things like, God is able to deliver me, but if not, I'm still not going to bow. That's what it means to endure. It basically means, you know what? I'm not going to buckle, but you know what? If God kills me and he allows me to perish in this trial, then I'm still not going to bow. That's what it means to endure. It means even if the outcome doesn't show up in your favor, you still don't move. You stay put. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. It says, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth. Dureth means to endure. But dureth for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I'm sorry, I'm reading from Mark chapter 4. 21 says, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. I already read to you from Mark chapter 4. What is it saying? Look, the person who doesn't have rooted himself, when this big guy comes after him, when the tribulation comes after him, he's only going to endure for a little bit, and then he's just going to fall away. He's not going to hack it. And this is what's funny. A lot of guys, man, yeah, I'm going to wait to go to the Great Tribulation. I'm going to be one of those Great Tribulation people. I'm going to, you know, this and that, doing all kinds of exploits. Well, how are you doing on the tribulation today, though? Like, how's that going for you first? They fall away. They get out of church. They stop serving the Lord. They get involved in sin. They fall away. So what happens? Brother Mike, you can sit down right here in the front row. You fell away. Fall away. This guy endured, okay? That guy endured. So what happens when you begin to endure? Well, tribulation worketh patience. That's a dirty word, patience. Because I like microwave stuff, you know, like drive-throughs and microwaves. And I'm the type to just pray, God, give me patience now. You know what I mean? Like, give it to me today. I want things now. But what is patience? Patience is when we go according to God's timetable, not ours. You surrender the deadline, and you say, well, whenever God wants to take it away, he'll take it away. Yeah. That's what patience is. And what helps with that? Tribulation. Now, how does tribulation work patience? Well, because when there's tribulation, we're looking for answers, right? We look for answers, practical ways, we get counsel, we do all these things, and then none of them work, and then you're just at the end, you're at the cliff, and you're like, well, there's nothing else to do. Now what? Well, now you wait. Wait on what? Wait upon the Lord. But what is he going to do? I don't know. Is he going to deliver me? I think so. But I just have to wait. Don't move. You just wait. And what I mean wait is just like, I don't mean like just stay home. And just don't do anything. What I mean is like you stay in the will of God and you don't make any drastic decisions. A lot of people, they go through tribulation and they think that the answer is moving to a different state. I'm going through a hard time. Let's go to Mexico. They think a location is going to help them to get away from this guy. This guy is assigned to you. The location doesn't get tribulation to go away. It's just like, why'd you move from California? This is tribulations over there, man. Like, I'm never going back. Tribulation will follow you. And you know what? When you move, you might think, oh, yeah, it's over and done with. God, that's going to make God even more mad, and he's going to send two of these guys. So what should I do? Endure. And let patience have her perfect work. Okay? Go to James chapter number 1, if you would. James chapter number 1. I hate waiting. I hate waiting for my Starbucks drink. I hate waiting in line, especially with this whole stupid COVID-19. You see how long the lines are for those drive-thrus? I hate waiting. Or canes. He woke up. You're like, not me. Well, you might have a greater tolerance to wait. I don't have that much tolerance. But here's the thing with being patient and waiting is like sometimes you have no choice but to wait. Look at James chapter number 1. In verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when God prospers you. Nope. When you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, it's all about what you know, right? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. So what is this guy doing? He's trying your faith. All that talk, all that chitter chatter about how much faith you have, he's going to put that to the test. All that talk that you're in the Lord and you're a Christian, Pentecostal Baptist, I'm great tribulation saint, bless God. Tribulation is going to come and say, all right, let's see if that's true. You're going to crack his neck. And he's going to go to work on you, and he's going to try your faith. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I need another guy up here. Brother Matt, why don't you come on up? So what happens when you have patience? When you endure, you have patience. What's the purpose of this increment of time where God's making us wait until he delivers us? Well, this is what it is, and this is important. This is where the message is, okay? Matt represents the lessons that God wants to teach us through that tribulation. Let me be honest with you. Sometimes I don't care about the lessons. I just want to get out of it already. Can we just end this? I got it, Lord. Just read more Bible. I got to go do more soul winning and pray more. I got it. No, you don't got it. We're going to have to keep you here a little longer until you learn the lessons that I want to teach you. And let me just say this. Pain, when I used to do Muay Thai kickboxing, they used to have us jump rope with leather jump ropes, barefoot, because it would help you to jump better. You know why? Because when the leather rope hits your toes, it hurts like crazy. And what does it do? It teaches you jump higher. jump higher. And when it burns, when you're jump rope and it starts burning and you're going for a long time, you just remember, I can't jump lower because the pain, I remember the pain. And you know what pain does? It teaches us a lot of lessons. Well, first, let me say this. Pain just humbles us, period. Because let's be honest. Sometimes we think we're all that in a bag of chips. We're just like the best Christians. We're the elite. We know our Bible. We're God's chosen. God favors us. He set apart him that is godly for himself. That's us. Well, you know what pain does? It humbles us and helps us to realize, man, I'm not all that I was cracked up to be. And through humility, we learn valuable life lessons. See, sometimes God allows a tribulation to come into our lives. He doesn't teach us through prosperity, folks. He teaches us through pain. We get a lesson and we say, I've learned now what God wants to teach me. Now I know what he's trying to get a hold of me. Now I know the wisdom that he's trying to give to me. Look what it says. Let patience have a perfect work. They may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You see, when we go through a trial, a tribulation, we're at the end of our ropes. What do? We ask God for wisdom. Like, Lord, everything's falling apart. No one can seem to help us. So can you just give me wisdom? Teach me. What is it that I need to learn? What is it that I need to change? By the way, this guy is a great cleanser. This guy right here is a great cleanser. What do I mean by that? You know, if you had certain little pet sins before, by the time you reach here, that's basically they're over and done with. Because you examine yourself. You wonder, like, man, is it me? And you start searching your heart and examining yourself, you know, questioning, Lord, if there's anything in my life, just bring it to light. Help me to get rid of it. It's a great cleanser. And sometimes it's not a matter of like he's punishing you. It's just part of the process of tribulation is that he works us and it causes us to just clean up our lives even more. And we learn lessons. We gain wisdom. You see, folks, it's not about you. It's not about me. Life is about the Lord, and it's about helping other people. But in order for us to be effective instruments of God to help other people, we got to know what we're talking about. What I mean by that, you have to have gone through something to be able to teach someone else. How do you teach someone how to get through a trial that you yourself have never experienced? But when you have experienced it, when you have been up late at night in tears and in prayer, you empathize with that person because you know exactly how that feels. God wants us to feel with people, to weep with them that weep, right? Well, the only way we can do that is by actually going through it ourselves. So what do we have? We have tribulation. Tribulation, if we endure, it works patience. If we don't endure, we end up like Michael. He fell away. Bye, Michael. I've known a lot of people like Michael. Not Michael, but I'm saying like people who fell away. And it's unfortunate. And sometimes they make their way back, but you know what? When they come back, hey, more is coming back too. Tribulation's coming back. So you better get ready. But hey, if you endure, if you're not moved, you're reading your Bible, you're staying in prayer, you say, well, I mean, like, does that mean I should just always have, like, be happy and stuff? No, weep, mourn. Weep, mourn, pray, but endure. Bleed, but endure. And then it works patience, and patience gives us life lessons. Okay. And then what's the next one? You got experience for me, Brother John? You guys got experience? Are we running out of paper? No. Okay, we got all right. Experience. I think we need another paper. Can someone get another paper, Brother John? Can you go get another? There's more paper there? Okay, good. Experience. So I need experience. Brother Chris, why don't you come up? You look like an experienced fellow. Brother Chris. So we got tribute. We go, you know, everything's hunky-dory. The bills are being paid. And church is going great. I know how to win people to Christ. I'm learning the Bible. I'm just prospering. In comes Maury. Out of left field. And here's the thing. We think we can prepare for this. Like, we know, like, okay, potentially this can happen this year. This can go wrong and this and that. And then, like, none of the above. You're like, okay, A, B, C, or D? D, none of the above. And God just hits you from left field. He just blindsides you with something you never would have expected. That's what tribulation is. What do you do? Do you fall away or do you endure? Well, I only want to endure if I know that the end is going to be fine. That's not the way it works. Just endure. What you have to have is grit. What you have to have is a recognition that, God, if you kill me, so be it. I'm still going to endure. You deserve my loyalty, my faithfulness, my service, no matter what happens. Endure. And it works patience. It makes you wait. And through waiting, you gain wisdom and you learn lessons. And what happens when you learn lessons? Experience. Now we think, well, experience, yeah, I'm experienced in this area. No, actually what this means is that you experience God's deliverance. You experience God's power, his deliverance, his presence, his miracles. That's what experience is. But you don't get here until you get here, and you don't get here until you endure here. You have to follow this process. And you experience the deliverance of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 18, for surely there is an end. Hey, amen. There's always an end to these things. There's always an end, folks. Surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Look, folks, God is not trying to make your life miserable. Why are all these things happening to me? Is God just displeased with me? Does he hate me? Why is he like? No, he's just trying to teach you something. He's trying to make you stronger. He's just trying to help you because you're like spiritually weak. You got no spiritual muscles on you. You have no biceps. You have no, what are some muscles? How does it work? What? Leg. I got legs. What are you talking about, man? Triceps. Pecs or whatever, you know. You got no muscle. So I'm trying to make you stronger. So you need to endure. But the way you get stronger is by enduring. By just taking the pain and reading your Bible no matter what. Winning people to Christ no matter what. Speaking well of the Lord no matter what. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Then you learn some lessons. You mature. And then, without you even knowing it, here comes experience. And let me say this. If God put this guy here, if we switch these guys around, you would not appreciate this at all. If God put him here and we took Brother Matt out of the equation, or God put him here and we took Hike out of the equation, you would not appreciate experience at all. But you know what helps us to appreciate experience and to handle it well is these guys right here. You wonder why sometimes God doesn't bless you with certain things? Maybe it's because you can't handle it. You ever think about that? Maybe you just can't handle that kind of blessing yet. So, and by the way, when you say, man, I've been praying for this, and then something else happened instead, well, maybe he's just preparing you to get that blessing. Because it takes a special type of a Christian to handle that type of blessing. And it takes a process to get there. Knowledge, experience is knowledge that is gained by undergoing a process. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. I need one more. Write down hope. Hope. No more paper? I guess we have no hope. Sorry, guys. There goes my sermon. I'm just kidding. I need a hopeful young lad here. Brother Jason, come up. He just walked up with hope. That's the spirit. You'll get your hope in just a bit, okay? So what is hope? Hope is when you go through this entire process, this is the final product of your expectation. And you carry hope everywhere you go thereafter. Because Maury's going to come back again. He's going to come back. He's going to combat you. He's going to fight you. But hold on a second. If you have hope on your belt, then you can endure. If you have hope in your belt, you know you can have patience because you're going to learn a lesson. If you have hope under your belt, you're going to experience the deliverance of God. And what's going to happen? You're going to build more hope. You see, hope is the final product. That's what we all want. And it's so necessary to have hope in this life in order to face that guy right over there. Because we, through much tribulation, must enter into the kingdom of God. Don't think, oh, I already went through tribulation. I'm good to go, man. That doesn't work that way. It's only going to get worse before it gets better. But you're not going to be able to endure that if you don't first get some hope. How do you get it? By enduring, by being patient and learning the lessons, and ultimately experiencing, and then boom, you got your hope. Don't be the kind of Christian that when trials come, well, I need to take a break from God. I need to take a break from church. I need to take a break from the Bible. I need to take a break from all these things. I need to just go be involved in sin. And by the way, I'm not talking about people who are debilitated and they can't do that. That's a different story. I'm talking about people who have the ability to do those things and choose not to do them because they feel like they need a break from God. You understand? You will never experience the hope. This is important, folks. Build your hope today. You're like, oh man, I'm not going through a trial. I can't wait to go through a trial. Well, slow your roll. Because maybe you're not even ready for that too. Go to Romans chapter 4. Men, you can sit down. Thank you. Thank you, hope. Thank you, experience. Lessons, I got you. Endure, great job. Temptation or trials, tribulation, I never want to see you again. I'm just kidding. Go to Romans chapter 4. We're pretty much done. Learning doctrine is important. Living doctrine is so much more important. Knowing what the Bible says is great. Putting into practice what the Bible says is a lot better. Because what good is it if you fall away and you have all that knowledge? Better to have the knowledge and put it into practice and actually be a strong Christian. Okay? Look at Romans 4, verse 18. Speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, what does that mean when he says who against hope? Does that mean he was against hope? Like he didn't want hope? What this means is against means toward hope. Believed in hope. You see, the reason he was able to endure the trial of not having a child is because he had already passed many times before, and because of that, he gained hope. So against hope, leaning towards hope, he believed in hope. So what do we have to do? Once we get hope and God delivers us, we lean against hope, believing in hope. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, man, this guy had the whole package. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. This guy's an optimist. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah's like, my womb is dead. Nah, you're fine. Against hope, believe in hope. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Savage level 3000. He's like, against hope, I believe in hope. Why was he able to be fully persuaded? Why did he not stagger at the promises of God? Because he leaned against hope. It started off with him having hope. Increase your faith, but you better increase your hope too. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hope comes when you go through tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. What's the point of increasing your faith if you don't have hope? The message today is simply this.